one of the inyonim of the issues, which we as B'nai Torah have to concern ourselves with, is the relationship bein Adam l'chaveri, with our fellow Jews. There are many aspects of relationships. There's, of course, chesed, ve'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, there's ahava, love, and we speak about that many times. But there is one important aspect of bein Adam l'chaveri that it's worth noting and discussing, because somehow we just go over it, we overlook that. And in today's Sedra, we see that this point is presented. Balei Musar speak about this based on the Midrashim. And the inyan is, Hischashvus b'kovid hazulas, to concern yourselves with the honor, with the dignity of another person. Not to go ahead and despair the other person, disparage him, or even make him feel bad. To bring about that the other person, even if he doesn't show it, is perhaps hurt and upset by what you did or what you caused to affect. And Mice is like this. We'll take Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who had this compassion for his fellow Jew, that the Medrash says that Moshe, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Alechi, Vayah B'Sivloisom, that Moshe would see B'Sivloisom, he would see the work and the burden that the Bnei Yisrael were under at that time, Ubeicha, and he cried, Ve'oma, and he said, he was exempt, of course, but he said, Chavali Aleichem, I pain for you. Mi'iten Moisi Aleichem, if I could only give my life for you. She'ein loch melochet koshem imelechas atit. The most difficult work that one has is to carry, to schlep the cement. And he would bear the burden with them. Messiah lechol echot ve'echot. Then we also see that Moshe went ahead and he smote the Mitzri who had fought with the Yeshivri. And Paro wanted to kill him because of that. And Moshe ran away because of that. He had to run to Midian. And he had to endure the Golus in Midian for the Hatzoleh of an individual, of one individual. That was the compassion and the feeling that Moshe felt for his fellow Jew, for his Ochi, for his brother, his brethren. Yet, we find later, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send Moshe to redeem Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim, so Moshe went ahead, and first he refused. He did not want to accept this mission, this obligation. And the Chazal tell us that for 7 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to speak to Moshe and to convince him that he should accept this mission. And Moshe would not accept this mission. Jews are suffering. They're dying every moment as if Lesom. You know what's going on in Mitzrayim. Why do you refuse to go back? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells him, you go and be the Mashiach Shel Yisrael. Moshe refuses. Why? So Chazal tell us that the Bonan Am Yisovel Ator Shohei Ma'akev Moshe Leilech Enekein. What held Moshe back from going? But K'mechabed Le'Aaron, covered for his brother Aaron. Moshe said, Ad Shalei Omadati, before I was established, Hoya Aaron Achi, Aaron my brother, already prophesied in Egypt. Shmeinim Shona for 80 years. So, how do when he brings Raya's that Aaron was an Ovi? Achshav now, at Kanes Bitchume Shelachi, I should go ahead in the position, Bitchume, in the mission of my brother, the prophet V'yir Mesa, and he will feel bad. You, Moshe, you're sipping me. I've been prophesizing Mitzrayim. And he will feel bad. Bishvil kach, the Medrash says, Lehoyim avakish leilech. Therefore, Moshe refused to go. So we could still ask. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, Bechveide Be'atzme, he's telling him to go and redeem the Jews from Mitzrayim. It's Pekuach Nefesh of 600,000. It's Pekuach Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. So how could Moshe go ahead and hold back the Geula? Why? 600,000 people, Bitzar, Avedas Perech. Moshe refuses to go. Why? Because Aaron, his brother, 3 years older, will feel bad that Moshe is becoming the Mashiach Shel Yisrael. That Aaron, who was a prophet from before, that Aaron was not chosen for this mission. But Moshe is the one that's chosen, and Aaron will feel bad, so Moshe cannot accept it. Either Klal Yisrael is in danger, and HaKadosh Baruch is telling him to go. The Bnei Shalom will find other ways, but I can't go against that which the Torah says. Kabedes ovichaves imecha l'rabes ochicha ha'godol. The Rabbeinu Shalom will find someone. When Rabbeinu Shalom told Moshe, and Moshe consented to go, and there was almost a catastrophe that what? He wasn't mal right away, the child. So the Malch Hashem was Mevakish La'amise. If he would have killed Moshe, what would have been with Gulas Yisrael? The Rabbeinu Shalom, as Abedrochim, Abim became, there's many ways that the Rabbeinu Shalom could bring about the redemption. But I, Moshe, cannot go against that which the Torah says. It says that you have to have the aftalachamecho, that you shouldn't cause your brother anguish. You couldn't cause your brother to disturb him, to distraught him, make him distraught. I can't do that. It's against the Torah. So you see how deep it goes, how important it is to have understanding and respect for the kavod, for the honor, for the dignity, for the person of your fellow man. Making him feel bad. But the whole world is waiting for you to redeem him so he'll feel bad. No, how could I go against the Torah? I'm here this autumn to make my brother feel bad when there's a mitzvah ve'after l'achamech to make every Jew. To be mitzayer a Jew. This is a lesson that we learn from this week's Medrash. But even more so, if we go back to weeks ago in the Sedra, when we read about Yosef and his brothers. So it says there that when Yosef achieved prominence as a governor in Egypt, and he went ahead and he was the one who provided the provisions for everybody. So it says in the Pasuk, V'esorom hever eisei le'orim mikzei gvul Mitzrayim v'ad kitzeihu. He went ahead and he took the people living in San Francisco and sent them to Chicago, and Denver went to Baltimore, and Washington went to New York, and he repopulated the whole country. So Rashi brings down, I'm having Yosef Meir Leir, to make them feel, first he says, that it was good in the sense that he didn't disperse them, but he took the total population, so they were able to continue to function. But Rashi says, L'hediyacha shvachah shel Yosef, this teaches you the praise of Yosef, shenizkaven lohosir chelpo, he wanted to remove the shame mealecha from his brothers, shele yehei keirin eisan geilim, they shouldn't say, oh, you strangers, you came from Canaan, you're refugees. No. We're the same citizens as you are. We move from there and you're moving from here. So the whole purpose, can you picture uprooting the United States and transferring from one city to another city, to a third city, so this group of Jews that came from Canaan should not be called Galen refugees, to take away the shame, Shalei Yenikloye Galen. Some Beledikazach, and if they'll call him Galen is what? The refugees. So we see what shame, what feel that Yosef had the feeling for his brothers in that way, to bring about such a major upheaval. We see a few instances with Yosef. When Yosef revealed himself to his brother and to his brethren. So he says, "Hey, tziu kol ish me'olai." Everybody first, he told all his guards and the security, "Hey, tziu kol ish me'olai," to leave him. He's endangering himself. Who knows what the brothers will do? Kach amar Yosef. Yosef said the following, "Beliboy, mutav she'ag v'le'avayish esachem mipnei amitzrim. I will rather give my life than to shame my brothers in the eyes of the Egyptians." Because when he would reveal himself as Ani Yosef, the whole story may come out, and the brothers will be ashamed, and the Egyptians will look askance at them. So he's going to shame his brethren in the eyes of the Egyptians. Yeah, but you're in danger if you send out your guards. Mutav shag, I'll give my life rather than to go ahead and to be mevayish my brothers. Even more so, it says later, for 17 years, Yosef didn't come to Yaakov in Mitzrayim, when Yaakov was in Mitzrayim, because he knew that if he comes to Yaakov, so he'll be privately, Yishoyim Yaakov, he'll be together with Yaakov privately, and then Yaakov will ask him, "Tell me, Yosef, how did you get to Mitzrayim?" And he'll have to tell him the story, Lashon Hara and his brothers, and it'll be Mevayish his brothers. So therefore, he figured better not to come to the father. But only Lifnei Meisei, when it says, Vayikra Lifnei LeYosef, that Yaakov called Yosef. So the Chazal say that one time that Yaakov called Yosef and Yosef came to the father, the brothers started to tremble. They were scared. Perhaps now that he's in private with his father Yaakov, he'll tell him what happened and will be ashamed and will be punished and so on. So therefore, 17 years, Yosef didn't come to his father. Not only not coming to his father, we realize the relationship of Yosef and Yaakov. Could you picture that from Washington to Baltimore, he wouldn't go for 17 years? Why not? You wouldn't see him now for 22 years. Why not? Because he was afraid. Afraid that what? That the father would find out. The shame that the brothers would suffer. So Yosef, but what was Yosef Mevater on? Not just seeing his father. Rashi says in Masechtas Kala that we don't see Yaakov kissing Yosef at all. Mipnei Malei Noshek Yaakov LeYosef. So he was afraid perhaps Yosef didn't conduct himself morally in Mitzrayim, like one should. So this is what was in the fear in the back of the mind of Yaakov. Yosef had this opportunity to meet with the father regularly and to impress the father, that the father would see indeed that this is his Bar Chaikima, that this is Yosef, that this is his dear son. Yet he gave up that opportunity. He gave up that. He was making that in order not to bring about any shame on his brothers. What I'm trying to emphasize is you see the sacrifices that people made in their spiritual life. God told you to go to redeem the Mitzrayim. Yeah, but what'll be then? My brother will feel bad. The Torah says you have to honor your brother. Yosef and Yaakov to meet. 22 years, 17 years in Mitzrayim, he didn't go to see the father on a regular basis. He could have gained so much. Can we picture what he was mevater, what he overlooked, what he sacrificed? Why? So he shouldn't have to say Lashon Hara on his brothers, and that they shouldn't feel perhaps the wrath of their father. It's a meiradika lesson. And there are a few instances and stories, we'd say, or anecdotes that are brought down with that emphasize this point that I want to bring to your attention. There's the story that's brought down. There's a book, which is a very interesting book, a sefer, a book you want to call it. It's about Reb Shmuel Aaron Yudalevich Zatzal. Meile Shel Shmuel, I happened to read that one. It's an interesting book. Shmuel Yudalevich was an outstanding orator, a speaker. And he had tremendous ashpa effect on other people when he spoke. He was able to bring people to tears. He was able to bring people to hear tshuvas. So it says like this, that when the Rav of Bote Huldana, I think, I don't know how it's pronounced, so when he was passed away, when he was Nifter, so the Gaboyim, the Mispalalim, came and asked if Shmuel Aaron should speak before Kol Nidre, he should speak Musar to the Elam. And this was an outstanding golden opportunity, Erev Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre, to speak, to bring out of here a tshuva. Erev Yom HaKodesh, a person could be Kene Elame. And here there are people, a whole minyan, that are waiting to listen to him, waiting to hear Musar from him. Tremendous Zikri HaRabim. But he refused to go. They begged him. No, he didn't respond. He said no. After they davened, after they left the Beis HaKnesses, they went to his house. And they say, why are you refusing? There's a whole Sibur, Erev Yom Kippur. You could bring them to hear a Musar. Why do you refuse to go? You could be Ma'ir the Kol. You could bring people to tears. Why do you refuse to go? They begged him. So he answered, Yadati, I know. But because of that, he says, I refuse to go. I could bring people to tears. I could bring people to tears. But there's one person that will cry, and I can't do that because of her. What do you mean because of her? Says every year, the Rav of Bote Odane would be Dairish before Kol Nidre, and he would be Me'ore, the people for Tshuva. This year, he passed away. His wife, the Almona, the Rebbetzin, davens in the Ezes Noshim. When she'll hear somebody else speak in his place, she'll remember his drasha, and she'll remember that he's not here anymore, and she'll cry, he says, and those tears I can't bring myself to bring about. So he's mevater. They ask him, you're mevater and zikri harabim. So he says, more than that, he says, is the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash tells us, that was the greatest zikri harabim to bring the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Take him away from Aveda Kosher, from the Memtesh Shari Tumah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, Zikru Arabim, where can you find such Zikru Arabim? But Moshe Rabbeinu refused, because the feelings that Aaron HaKohen would have, Ochiv HaGodol. He says, the Matora does not permit, is not Mekadesh Esso Emtsoyim, the means. Yes, that's true, the end result is good, but people will suffer for me to bring about this end, the end result. It's a powerful message. If we just think in as I'm speaking that what we're dealing with, and then we could see how important it is not to bring about feelings in somebody else. You won't even see it, but your words hurt him. It may bring him shame. I'm ready to be mevater on the greatest things, but not to cause a person this pain and this despair. There's another interesting maysa that's brought down from Rav Shvadran. Shvadran related this maysa. There was a similar example, but it should bring us closer to us. So, Balatvila, there was a Balatvila who used to daven Musafim and Yomim Maroyim in a Beis HaKnesses, Reb Chaim Sonnenfeld was the Rav. So a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, was still within Shleishim, so he passed away. When Shiva was over, the people came to Reb Chaim Sonnenfeld and they asked the Rav, what should we do now? It's almost Yomim Neroyim. We have to get a Baal Tefillah. So Reb Chaim answered them, don't worry, he says, I'll find a Baal Tefillah. I'll take care of that. Days went by, and they didn't. And then it's holding slichas. Slichas, they came again to the Rav, and they said, it's almost Rosh Hashanah. Who was going to be the Baal Tefillah? Don't worry, he said, I'll take care of it. So they went down and they went away. They claimed they were at peace, but they wanted to know, started the question, who's the Lord going to choose? So when it came to Rosh Hashanah, they already wanted to know who's going to represent and who's going to be the Baal Tefillah, and they had no longer any savlonis. So they asked the Lord, and the tshuva was the same thing. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. Rosh Hashanah became about, and they finished the Kriyas HaTorah of the first day, and everybody wanted to see who the Shliach Tzibur would be. Everybody was looking towards Reb Chaim. He rose up, Reb Chaim, from his place. He walked over to a young man, the son of the old chazan of the Shliach Tzibur that passed on, and he said to him, you have to be the Baal Tefillah. You have to daven Musaf B'diuk with the Nusach that your father davened. So this young man didn't expect such a thing. He was shocked. He didn't even contemplate that such a thing could come about. He never davened Musaf, and he didn't prepare the tefillahs for Rosh Hashanah. So Reb Chaim answered him, you heard your father daven for many years. You know the way he conducted himself in the tefillahs. Go to the Yomed, and you will be matzliach. The Rav said, Chaim Sonnenfeld. So he went to the Yomed, the young man. Many people in the congregants looked up b'tmiya. They didn't say anything. They just were, what happened here? After davening, a honored group went over to the Rav and they said, with their cheretz, we accept, of course, what the Rebbe said, what the Rav said, but teach us these. They said, there's a halacha that a novel should not daven yomim neroyim for the Yomed. So how could he daven yomim neroyim? So Reb Chaim answered them quietly, softly. He says, do you know who's davening in the Ezes Noshim in our Beis HaKnesses? The Almon of the Shliach Tzibur, he says. Can you picture yourself, the Agmus Nefesh and the Tsar, that she has, be it silently at this moment, when her husband used to go to daven for the Yomed, and now she's listening to another person. Just picture for yourself the pain that she's silently suffering. She used to hear her husband every year. He says, I wanted somehow to curtail that pain as much as I can. And therefore, I decided to send one who is the closest to her husband, her son. And who could be closer than her son? I thought about the halacha that you said, that a novel cannot go ahead and daven during the Avelis. But I also remembered another halacha. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah says when there is nobody else, then a novel can be the chazan. He says in this instance, when this almona is here in the Beis HaKnesses, and when she hears somebody else to go up and daven, her soul will be ripped apart. The anguish, the pain that she will suffer. In this instance, there is nobody else. So therefore, he said, I sent the son, that the son should be the Baal Tefillah, that the son should be Mispalel. There are many, many, when you look through the books, the stories, the Magidim, there are more instances here that I could quote, but I think this is enough. The idea being not to cause anguish to your fellow man. The older we get, we could appreciate the significance and the importance, but it's negeya each one of you. To the contrary, the younger you are, you think, well, so what if I play this trick on him? So he'll feel bad. He won't know. Fine, he may not know, but do you feel bad because he feels bad? Do you feel bad because he feels bad? And making him feel bad, even if it's silent. You're being pegeya bekovet chavecha. And the greatest chesed, the greatest aveh, is not to cause your chaver pain, not to cause him anguish. This is an important message. Yosef HaTzadik, what he sacrificed. Moshe Rabbeinu, what he was willing to undertake and sacrifice. Rabbi Levitch, Rav Sonnenfeld, Gedalim, in our time, in our era, not in the biblical era, were they to practice what they brought, the understanding and the feeling that they had for another person, for another individual. This is an important message, and it's an important lesson for all of us in our daily affairs as we conduct ourselves with our chaverim, with our classmates, with other people, to remember Hizoru b'kfeit chaverchem, not to cause them pain, not to cause them anguish. Shabbos.